Hey, this is Matt Cain with the San Francisco Giants, and you guys are listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants.
Let's go, Giants! SF Giants!
With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Monday, June 21st, 2021, and this is episode 228 of the TortureCast, a podcast by and for fans of your first place San Francisco Giants. We're coming to you live on Facebook like we do every time. Hey, no June swoon for the Giants. I want to welcome my guests, Willie and Eric. Willie, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. Every day I wake up, I watch the Giants win, and it's wonderful. And then my day is better. It's the best.
This is a great time, isn't it? I mean, this is feeling back to like 10 and 12 and 14 and even a little bit of 16. It's nice.
Be back. And in some ways, again. Like 93 and 2002.
Yep. And 2002, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And Eric, how's the heat bringing to Vegas right now?
Hiding indoors. We are over 115 like every day for a week, so I've been hiding indoors. We get a break though. Today's only 105 and tomorrow should be like 102, so we get a break.
Cool.
I've been watching a lot. I'll be honest, I've been watching a lot of baseball. That's really how I've been passing my time.
Yeah, no kidding. My god. Yeah, you know, every time the June hits, we always think, oh, the Giants are going to fall off. And, you know, I think it was 2 weeks ago in our last episode, I said, okay, I'm finally convinced this team is real. You know, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. I kept waiting for the wheels to fall off. I kept waiting for something to happen. You know, it's June. Oh, now they're going to have June swoon. And they're 12-6 this month. They got the best record in the bigs. They're in first place.
They're almost halfway, baby. Yeah,
I know, right?
We're doing better in June than we have the whole rest of the year. We're catching our groove right now. This is amazing.
So now that all our expectations are high, now is when we get crushed, right? So
now we just get really critical of everything. You're like, they could be doing this better.
They're not winning every game. They only went 6-1 this week, guys. I'm concerned.
That was the craziest game I've watched in a long ass time. I'm sure we'll get to it, but it was really interesting. It was very entertaining and then not entertaining at all. And maybe
So the Giants have gone 9-4 since we last recorded, won 7 of their last 8. They're now a full 20 games over 500, standing at 46-26, best in the bigs. They got a 1.5 game lead over the Dodgers, who, of course, have the second best record in the bigs. The West is a tough division. And a 5-game lead over the Padres. And at this point, I mean, what else do you want the Giants to do? I'm pretty damn satisfied, and I don't know what else we can say. I mean, every day, like you said, Willie, we can start critiquing the small things, but it's been incredible. I think I have it further down. If you want to critique anything, they have 0 walk-off wins this year, but they have 7 walk-off losses. I mean, season's over.
Yeah. that has been kind of the meme in the Giants subreddit, is that the ninth inning is scary. And, you know, I talked about on the last show that, you know, whether the ninth inning is scary or not, we still lead the league in being ahead after the ninth inning. So,
yeah,
you know, you bring up this stat, but it's kind of, I think it's indicative of just the strength of the Giants compared to the weakness. Like there's another meme about leaving men in scoring position. And my argument is we get a lot of guys in scoring positions. Yep. Therefore, you're going to leave more of them there. You know what I mean? Because they're not all going to score. So if you look at percentage-wise of, like, the guys that do get there and how much they get in, we're, I think, top 10 in that. But it's just – it looks like, oh, my God, we're constantly leaving guys on second and third. It's one of those things. It's like the good team kind of – the downfall of the fan of a good team is that you will notice the smallest thing – and then you'll latch onto it, and now you will notice every single time it happens.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, it's like you don't remember the times that the guy did score from second base with two outs, but you remember every time that they didn't,
right?
And and that's kind of what we're, that's kind of where the Giants fan base is at right now. We're starting to get to nitpick period where it's like, okay, I guess they're actually good. What can I complain about now? And well, we're looking, you know, we're looking, we're finding it.
Was heading into this homestand, I started tweeting that was my stat. I tweeted how the Giants had 7 walk-off losses and they hadn't had a walk-off win yet. But it's indicative of the fact that they do put so many people on base and score so many runs early. I mean, remember those old teams where they set a record like a year or two ago of giving up runs in the first inning or some crap like that? And now they're the ones scoring runs in the first and second inning and jumping out and putting leads on people. So I think it kind of shows that they don't have to come back all the time. You know, walk-off wins are great, but it also shows that you were trailing the whole time. The Giants, they step on your throat and they stay there usually. You know, those walk-off losses are razor-thin losses. There's 3 or 4 of them that could have gone either way at any moment. So they could be even better than they are right now. It's kind of ridiculous to think about. So, you know, I latched onto that specific stat. I'm blown away that they're a game and a half ahead of the Dodgers and 2.5 games ahead of everybody else, because it goes Giants, Dodgers, and then Houston and Oakland. And then they're 3 games ahead of every other division leader in baseball. The Giants on June, what is this, 21st? I mean, I didn't see this coming, but you're right. You kind of expect it now. And that's why this week was such a good week. 6-1, you wake up every day, you expect to watch the Giants win, and they go out and do that.
Yeah, touching upon those large leads that they build, so they're not going to have a lot of walk-off wins anyway. They're 13-5 in blowout games, which are defined by a win of 5 or more runs. And that's pretty amazing. That's crushing it, right? They've been shut out 4 times, but they've shut out the opponent 9 times. They're 3-5 in extra innings, 1-2 in 7 inning games. But if you take all those away and the walk-off losses, they're 42-19 in 9 inning games. That's astounding, guys. That's like, holy crap.
Well, the other thing is, we don't have walk-off wins, but we do have come-from-behind wins. We just came back in the 6th, 7th, and 8th inning. Yeah, I mean, we literally had a couple of them this last week. I mean, the Yaz Grand Slam, I mean, that's as good as a walk-off if you ask me. You know, so
why didn't he do it in the 9th inning?
God, why? Man. Why? I mean, they should have shifted things around. Yeah, you know what I watched last night, by the way? This is funny that you just said, why didn't they do it that way? I watched Mr. 3000 last night. You remember that movie with Bernie Mac? There was a technicality. They counted one of his games twice, and he actually needed 3 hits to get to 3000. But what's funny is there's a whole thing in that where he gets 29.99, and then they're like, we're not going to play you on the road so that you can get it at home. And it's like, that's one of those things of like when somebody's like, that was pretty sweet, but it would have been sweeter if it had been like this. And it's like, you can't ask for that, man. That's just not how baseball works. You take your licks when you can get them. By the way, small fact, and I paused the movie because I was like, holy shit, Buster Posey's in that movie. Buster Posey plays a Houston Astro.
Are you
in
serious?
Mr. 3000. Yeah, in one of the scenes where he's just one of the guys on the other team, and he gets a base hit, and then he's on first base. And I was like, that's fucking Buster Posey. And then I paused it, and I was like, yes. Turns out, yes, it is. He was 17, and he was in high school at the time.
No way. Oh, my God. Yeah. I had no idea. Freaking hilarious. And he was 17.
It was so awesome, because he's barely on camera.
I'm like, that's a fairly old movie, so.
Yeah, he's barely on camera, but as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, my God. And it was like, it was the player that I was using, like, didn't have like go back a frame or whatever. So I like had to really struggle to get like right on the freeze frame of him. But once you see him, you're like, oh my God, he was a studly little 17-year-old. He looks like a man, dude. It's crazy.
And he still looks 17 in a lot of
ways. Yes. His face still looks, still doesn't have catcher face.
Yeah. Ode to that old video. That was fantastic. All right, well, we're not going to go in depth in every series because we haven't recorded in a couple of weeks, but we'll talk briefly about them. So since our last podcast, they went on the road. They had a 6-game roadie, and they split 2 in Texas. And of course, we had the debut of Sammy Long, which we'll get to in a little bit because he was just fantastic yesterday. But of course, and as I bring up my sharing screen here, the highlight, I would say, of the there it is. The highlight of the series was this play right here.
I mean, this is important.
Down the right field line, deep into the corner. It's a grand slam! Mike Tauchman with a laser beam into the right field corner for a grand slam to turn this game around, and the Giants are ahead 6-4.
That's a lot of Giants fans in Texas.
A lot of Giants fans travel in Texas.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
it's pretty sweet.
It's a big state. They come from everywhere for these games.
The way, yeah, the way Texans would describe it to you, like half of California lives here now, by the way.
So. That's how they describe it here in Vegas.
Don't put California
I'm not even kidding you.
Apparently half of America is from California.
Yeah. Right?
No matter
that's
where
crazy.
You go.
That's yeah. so
oh
funny.
Oh, my God. It's so sad. Yeah, so Tauchman, you know, I know that he's not been the most valuable Giant, but here we have two home runs that have been robbed. One was a game saver, and now a go-ahead grand slam. So even though his overall stats are pretty shitty, he's single-handedly won two games for the Giants. It's pretty good. That's a war of two right there.
Yeah, if you want to talk about wins above replacement, it's
yeah,
like, okay,
exactly.
Literally, I made us win two games.
Yep.
It's a really that's why it's such a hard stat to understand if you're like a layman is like, well, it's just averaged by what you've done and what you are doing and like how if you were to shove in a 235 guy, like how many more games would we win? But that doesn't take into account these kind of things, these incredible game saving plays that obviously in the end like tend to matter more than like a single in the third or whatever. I'm not the hugest Tauchman fan at this point, but goddamn, he really brings some fun to some games. So,
well, I like his approach, and I see what Farhan sees in him, and that he takes pitches and he works at bat. But the mm-hmm. problem is he swings through a lot of balls, and he yeah. turns over a lot of weak grounders, and
he's got a he's big batting. Hole in his swing or something that they're exploiting, yeah. right? So,
yeah, and he's batting 171. I mean. So when he makes contact, you know, he's had a couple of good plate appearances with that. But, you know, the defensive stuff, that's fun. But, you know, you'd hope to think that maybe if Duggar had been in left, he had had a shot at making those kind of plays too. So, you know, just as an example, you know, I don't think Darren Ruff or even, you know.
No.
Dickerson is making that play in the ninth inning on the Pujols.
But I also think, though, I like him. As a left fielder, right? I'd rather have Duggar in center if we're talking about where we put these guys.
Yeah, that's true.
So does Duggar even get an opportunity in left field? I feel like he's a nice complimentary piece that feels very much like if he's still on this Giants team when it comes playoff time, he's going to do something significant, right? Do you get that sense? He's going to have some sort of amazing moment that's going to win a game, right? And that's, he's just kind of got that to him. But you are right. Like, consistently day in and day out. If he was our starting left fielder every single day, I'd be like, God damn, we got to get rid of this guy.
Yeah, we'd be screaming.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's, you know, he's like, he's just there. He's the platoon piece. He's a left-hander. You know, it's got,
yeah, I don't know. Here's my thought on Tauchman, just, you know, so we can discuss it here real quick. Dickerson and Ruff are coming back off the DL, and they are going to need people to move out. Yeah. Tauchman's definitely a candidate to get DFA'd because he doesn't have options. Slater has options, and they'll probably send him down, I think, in the whole Ruff-Dick swap type thing.
Did you say Ruff-Dick swap?
That was something I was just keeping quiet about. That's a different podcast.
That's something that happens at the Stud sometimes after Giants games. But
fantastic.
No, you're right though. He is probably the odd man out. And I was actually thinking about this the other day too. Like when Webb comes back, like Wood might be the odd man out. And it's been like weird that there's like guys who I didn't expect are in spots that we didn't expect them to be. And now I'm like Farhan don't give a fuck, dude. Like Farhan's like,
he doesn't.
You're not doing the job. You're out of here, buddy. He has no, like, and I like it, to be honest. I like the willingness to just make the hard move, because I think it's, you know, you got to look at the players look at it like a business. They want to get as much as they can for their money, their contract or whatever. And it's like, you can't just be loyal forever. And we, I think, you know, Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt aside, we paid a price for loyalty for a few years there. So, you know, it's like we now got the guy Farhan's in there and he's like, nah, I don't care.
No, I mean, it puts pressure on the players too, in a good way.
Sure.
I mean, they're not like, oh, I got this locked up no matter what I do over the next month. It's like, yeah. No, if you have a 3-week slump, you might be sent down or DFA'd. So, yeah, it keeps the pressure on them. So it's great. But I mean, talked about it ad nauseum. This is just not a team of superstars. This is a team of interchangeable parts. And Farhan's just done an excellent job in getting a lot of depth on this team. So when you have those injuries, like you talked about earlier, it's like, okay, yeah, these two or three guys could go down, but we have two or three guys that fill right in and you don't even miss a beat. It's incredible. So, I mean, you have some of these, not the Dodgers have good depth too, but you know, some of your more mediocre teams, 500 teams, you know, they have a star or two that goes down. They're really screwed.
Yeah.
That's what the Giants used to be. I mean, yeah. We used to be talking about, is Gregor Blanco good enough to be the third outfielder? Gregor Blanco. And now we've got these guys coming in and knocking the cover off the ball. And then he goes down. The next guy comes in. Duggar's like, oh, it's my turn to play. Cool. I'll start hitting the ball. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Dickerson and Ruff should be back like within the next couple of days, which is what presents all these conundrums that we end up talking about.
Yeah, for sure. So they held serve on the road. They split 4 in Washington. But if you told me going into the series that the Giants were only going to score 3 runs in the first 3 games total, I was like, oh, crap.
They won two out of three of those.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we won 2 out of 3 of those. Yeah, that was a weird series. And that was – everybody was – like doomsaying the Giants offense. Like, oh my God, look at this. I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was coming. Right. And, you know, and at the time, I mean, Longoria is down. Like we, you know, obviously like pieces are moving around and you know, we're going to have some games, right. Where not, especially the way our offense works. Our offense works by a guy takes a walk, another guy, whatever. And then somebody jacks a 3-run homer. That's how the offense works. Right. Sometimes you're not going to jack a 3-run homer in a game. The wind's blowing in or something like that, and our offense is going to stall out, right? So it's going to happen, and I think people just have to be ready for the fact that we're going to have games where we score, you know, 18 or whatever, and we're going to have games where, you know, 11, 13. We've had some games recently where we've scored a lot of runs, and then we're going to have some series where it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, the Giants are second in run differential in the National League. I think third overall behind the Dodgers and the Astros. I mean, every team is going to have 2 or 3 games in a row in which they score just a few runs. It just happens. Now, if it went to, you know, 10 out of 12 games or something like that, yeah, you're going to have a notable dip in your record. I'm never going to worry about, you know, 3 games where they don't hit well. Because look what happened. They came right back home to Arizona. Yes, it's Arizona.
It's Arizona on the road. Sure.
But they got healthy against Arizona. So, you know, that was fantastic. I mean, 4-game sweep of a horrible team. Then the Dodgers followed up by sweeping them in a 3-game series. Arizona has now lost 17 games in a row.
This is like historical levels of bad at this point. And I feel for them, man. I have some friends who are Diamondbacks fans. It's like they kind of thought they would like the worst years were behind them. It's like, well, sorry. They broke a record, right? 23 in a row on the road or whatever. That was the record.
Yeah. I think that's where they're at now. They have won 3 games since May 15th. The Giants have won 3 games since June 15th.
Yeah.
The Diamondbacks, the Yankees have turned 3 triple plays sooner than the Diamondbacks have 3 wins.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's unbelievable because the Yankees' 3 triple plays have all been since like May 26th and on. I remember watching the first one live. I was sitting at a bar for it and I happened to be watching that game. And so they've had 3 triple plays in less than like 3.5 weeks. And the Diamondbacks only have 2 wins during that time.
So it's amazing too because somehow they're worse than the Pirates, right? And it's like, and in this season, that was the big. That, like the Pirates are the laughing stock of baseball this year, right?
People picked the D-backs to be better than the Giants this year.
They're supposed to be above the Giants.
They're 26 and a half games back.
Yeah.
It's June 21st.
You know, it's still early.
It's still early.
They might finish 60 games back, you know?
Mathematically, like, they could still come back. No, you want to talk about a June swoon. I mean, 17 in a row, and with the calendar, they haven't won a single game in this month. So,
and they lost like 14 or 15 or 16 in a row right before that. They went like, they had a streak, then they went win, loss, win, and then they had another streak.
Yeah,
they need to get out of the West is what they need. They need to stop playing National League West teams because they're getting destroyed. Yeah.
Giants are 6-0 against them.
Three of the best teams of baseball are in their division, and they're one of the worst teams of baseball. That's not a good place to be. That is not.
Yeah, I'm sure Bumgarner's kind of going, oh, shit.
Yeah, poor Bumgarner.
This wasn't the best decision. I know he had a nice little renaissance over three games, and then I know he's on the IL now. But
that's the last game they won on the road was his quote-unquote no-hitter. That was literally the last game they won. That was at the end of April.
That long ago, huh?
Yeah, but, you know, he also gets to sleep on a bed of money, so he's
Overall, his life is just fine. Yeah, he's got three world championships anyway, so he's
what was his deal? 85 mil? Okay. Something like that?
85 for five, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so, He's fine.
He's fine. I'll take five over five. Thanks. Yeah.
That's five. A lot of horses on that ranch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. So, the Giants definitely beat up on the Diamondbacks. They got healthy at the stick, hitting 9 home runs, scoring 37 runs in the four games. And, of course, their highlight was a 7-0 deficit they were facing against the Diamondbacks, in which they came back. The score was 8-5 in the bottom of the eighth with two outs, bases loaded, and Yaz stepped up to the plate.
The bases are loaded, and here comes Yaz. So the fans, everybody standing now, as the Giants have been playing catch-up all night long. And the possible tying runs are on base now. Yaz is 1-for-4 in the game. There's a high drive to right. Is it fair? Down the line. It is a grand slam! Into the water! Can you believe it? And they all score, including the man.
I love this Diamondbacks fan right there.
Diamondbacks fan right there. I know.
He's like, all right. I'll dab you up.
Have come from 7-0 behind.
Yeah, he even gave it up. That was pretty awesome.
That was, by the way, that's Baby Bonds right there. I don't know if you guys saw the somebody actually took a photo comparison of Yaz and Barry Bonds' swings at like different points, and they looked like exactly the same, like the positions they're in, and like everything about, if you watch, I mean, just watch that and think about, just replace Yaz with Barry in that moment. He's just like a little skinny Barry Bonds. He does the same little bat drop at the back. He's got the bat in the same position. The extension looks the same. He's hitting them out to the same part of the yard. It's pretty funny. I mean, obviously, he's not Barry Bonds, but...
Well, like, he looks like 1987 Barry Bonds.
Sure, yeah.
There you go.
Little baby Barry Bonds. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
No, but he went down and yanked that way inside and low.
In a 1-2 count.
Barry Bonds' golf swing. It was fantastic.
Well, you know, it was interesting because when he hit it, Kruko kept saying over and over again, he had to be guessing for that pitch. And then when Yaz got interviewed after the game, he said, I wasn't guessing. I just adjusted to the pitch on the fly because I think it was a changeup or a slider on the inside down and in part instead of the fastball that he had, you know, could have been gearing up for. So it also showed Yaz. I mean, he has had such a great approach lately. He's had a few good games on this homestand.
Well, the catcher was setting up on the outside part of the plate, so it was clearly a mistake to location. And it still was it was not an easy pitch to hit, but Yaz has shown, I think, that's a zone that he can cover, and he can get it out of the yard. So I honestly, when he hit it, I was like, that's foul. That's just foul. I think that ball hooks every time, doesn't it? But somehow, maybe the sticky stuff, dude. The sticky stuff helps to stay in.
The sticky stuff. Oh, that's good. That's
spider tag splash hit.
Spider tag. And then they closed out the homestand with three against the Phillies, Kapler's former team. The Giants did take 2 out of 3, scoring a total of 22 runs, but they allowed 18. So it was kind of, you know, wasn't the best series for the pitching staff, but doesn't matter. You take two out of
13 of them in one game. So you kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you chalk it up to just, it was one of those bad games. And that was the one that was giving you indigestion. Exactly.
Yeah, that game had everything, dude. That game literally, I mean, the first three innings, it was 6-6 after three innings, right?
Mm-hmm.
and then there was just so many more notable things that happened during that game. You had players getting knocked down. You had a little bitch made relief pitcher coming in and stalling the game for 15 minutes because the mound ain't perfect. You had all these like weird random little situations that were happening in the game too. You had the one Brandon Belt gets picked off twice, but somehow is now on third base. Like it was just all this wild, crazy stuff was happening. And I think Eric, you texted like they'll have to win 20 to win this game. And yeah, I mean the Phillies scored 13. The Giants clearly needed a lot more. They just like stopped scoring at some point, and the Phillies never did. So.
Yeah, it was like they were saying on the broadcast. It was like a tennis match. It was just back and forth, changing leads, and then I guess the Giants didn't get the memo in the fourth inning when they said, "Hey, continue to score," because yeah, they just suddenly stopped.
I don't know if the Phillies bullpen is just that much better than ours, but it just felt like they went to that one lefty, I think, who everyone was like, "Why does this guy not close or whatever?" He's got like an 0-3 ERA. And that guy actually pitched like three strong innings. So maybe that was it. He just kind of killed the momentum for the Giants. But yeah, that game was super fun. And I expected it to end up being like 16-15. But yeah, the Giants just stopped scoring. Weird game.
Yeah.
Ranger Suarez. The guy's name was Ranger. He's the lefty that came in for them. And it was funny because Kruk talked about it on the broadcast. Kruk, not Kruk.
Kruk. So yeah, there was Kruk. A Kruk and a
that was, you know, so honestly
spelled the same.
You know, as somebody who apparently Amazon doesn't get Peacock, so I had to go through the internet and stream the games a different way. I mean, I could watch on my tablet and stuff, but I want to watch on my TV. But that was the one thing that bothered me the most about the broadcast. I didn't really mind this combined broadcast thing. I thought it was kind of fun. I thought Jimmy Rollins was fun. They all had great stories. You know, they talked about different kinds of things. Every time they mentioned something, a half inning later, there'd be a flashback to it. I thought that was kind of neat about the broadcast this week. But having a Kruk and a Kruk was, you know, that's the only bone I have to pick with that. It was kind of a little bit of, why did you have to pick those guys?
I will say this, though. This has been my argument forever about how to handle playoffs and World Series. Is you get your one national guy, and then you get a guy from either team. Because it was super fun to be able to watch the broadcasters from either team be able to talk about their guys with knowledge, right? That they've watched every single one of their games.
Yep.
And what I hate is when you're watching the World Series and it's like Joe Buck doesn't know anything about the Giants. You know what I mean? He's like, he's watched maybe like three of their games all year, maybe a couple of their like Sunday night baseballs or whatever.
That was nice. Kruko kept turning to Kruk and saying, so now what are they doing with this guy, you know, to set him up so that they could have those discussions. The best part was when Belt homered in the game that we're talking about, the Saturday game, they were having a conversation and then Belt swung and hit the ball. And all of a sudden you hear John Kruk go, oh, no. And then you hear John Miller go, there's a drive to deep right. You know, it was just really funny to hear that kind of reaction and hear both Kruk and Kruk. React to stuff, negatively when it's positive for a certain, select section of the fan base. I thought that was really fun. That was really that one moment. It was just so funny to hear. Oh, no. And there's a deep drive to right field.
I will say this, though. The Phillies guys don't have the same vibe. There was a moment like I love Rollins. I think Kruk is funny. But there was a moment where they showed the bay and they showed some like little kid on like a pedaling boat or whatever. And Rollins was like in the middle of a 10-minute story and just powered on through his story. And there was never, Kruk and Kipe like laughing about some Yahoo in the cove, like on a weird boat. And I'm like, guys, like you have to stop your story for a second and laugh at this dude. The camera guy took time to find some weird boat in the cove. It's your duty now to talk about it. And there was a few moments like that where I was like, I get it. These stories are great, but oh my God, they were going on forever about it.
Yeah, no, the combined broadcast, I actually enjoyed it. I mean, if they did it every game of the year, no, but for a three-game series, I thought it was fun. I mean, they did bring a lot of great stories in there. I mean, and I didn't watch too much of the coverage. I was just so busy this weekend. But, Kruk was talking about when they got into the spider tack and substance and how they were all talking about how as infielders, Kruk and Rollins didn't have any problem with pitchers using it back in the day. And they knew that they did, but they had a problem with like scuffing the ball. And then Kruk goes into the story about how he was asked by a pitcher whom he didn't name to keep an emery board in his first baseman's glove. And when he would throw to pick off a runner,
he would ask him to scuff it then.
He would scuff it in his pocket and then throw it back. And he said the first time he did it, he scuffed it, threw it back, and then the pitcher kind of turned around, felt it, turned around, and then gave him a thumbs up like, hey, thanks. Bro. And Greg is like, we're not keeping this a secret, are we?
Dude,
so stuff like that I thought was great. But it was good to get a perspective on their, you know, opinion about this stuff. And they even made the point of like, look, these guys are throwing in the 90s. I want them to have some sort of grip. If they don't have grip, they're going to lose the ball and hit me in the head. So, you know, a certain amount of grip is actually preferred.
That's the argument that I've heard a couple times too. But like I talked about that video, the guy talked about how people are getting hit at a higher rate this year. So it's hard to say 100% if like,
yeah,
that's reality or not. By the way, there's a couple things. Ever since I talked about the catchers like throwing it to the dugout when the ball goes in the dirt now, I started to notice so many things. Like now, a strikeout to end the inning, catcher immediately gets up, rifles it to the first baseman, right? And that's a new thing. That is not how they've been doing it forever. It's always been in the past, the catcher would get it and he would basically just like casually toss it towards the mound. You know what I'm talking about? If there was a strikeout to end an inning.
To end the inning, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually
catcher
just
would
roll it on
kind
the mound,
of slowly roll it up to the mound, and then the next pitcher would come up, and he would pick that ball up and go.
Right.
But now it's very clear that every pitcher wants their own ball to be the way they like their ball to be because, yeah, they're rifling it to the first. Just watch and notice it. They're rifling it to the first baseman every time. I'm also noticing a lot more outfielders make a catch to win or to get a third out. They're not just automatically turning around and chucking it into the stands as much anymore. A lot more times they're throwing it back in and that ball is staying within the organization. It's very strange when you start to notice it, you will not be able to unnotice it. Like just how it just feels like they're being very protective of the balls that they're using. Hmm. It's weird.
Yeah, aren't they starting this week to crack down their official
today's the day.
Policy? Today's the day, yeah.
And I mean, so if everyone's doing it, I don't really understand this whole, like, being protective about it. But, I guess this is the day, right, where we'll start paying attention to what happens to ERAs. What happens to guys who are having great years? You know?
The fascinating thing to me, watching the Sunday night game last night was interesting. First of all, A-Rod did a demonstration about spider tack, and this moment cracked me up because A-Rod's putting spider tack on his fingers. And he's like, so this is how that they might – and he looks at the cameras and he says, I understand the irony, and I'm sitting here talking to you about cheating and stuff like that. You know, it was absolutely hilarious. Like, very good job being self-aware.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, that's funny. So after that, they were talking about how teams generally, because they know that their own pitchers are using this, they're not calling for balls to be checked by the other team because they fear reprisal. And now there are at least three or four teams that have come out and said, we're going to start, when this new rule starts, we're going to start asking umpires to check. We're not going to screw around anymore. We're done with the gentleman's agreement, basically, is what it is. And I totally get that. I totally get, you know, the Giants would never want to ask for a ball to be inspected or a glove to be inspected because they'd be worried about their own guys too. But in the new age, if it's another competitive edge to catch your opponent cheating at some point, some teams are going to use it that way. It's just, it's really weird that it was the like open secret for a while and they're cracking down on it. And that's also from what I read, they just need better baseballs. These baseballs are too slick. The seams are just a little too low.
If you watch the Bauer interview, he recommended that rather than this whole years-long tradition of taking the Mississippi mud and rubbing up the balls before the game by a human, then instead all the balls are kind of like put through some sort of a conveyor belt that gets sprayed with an even coat of whatever substance they determine is the best to give the ball the tackiness it needs. And then all the balls are the same. And then you go out there and you say, okay, nobody can use anything extra. The balls have what we want on them. And that's what it is, you know. But it was funny. During that interview, Bauer holds the ball up like this, and it's literally just sticking to his to his palm. He just goes like – and he does it so casually. He just kind of like in the middle of the interview, he just goes, and then, yep. And it's like, I'm just showing you guys. Yeah. But, I mean, it's – It's annoying because it's like, oh, some guys are doing it, some guys aren't. Everybody should just do the same, whatever it is. Everyone should do the same thing. Whatever it is.
Sean Estes was on KNBR last week, and it was an interesting interview because they brought it up. They asked him, they said, did you ever use anything? Now, I don't know if I believe Sean Estes, but he said, no, I never used any substance or any emery board, nothing. He's like, I knew a lot of guys who did, but his belief is that it wasn't prevalent, like meaning most guys were using it. So mm-hmm. It was kind of an opposite take for what most guys have said. He just relied on pine tar and, you know, the rosin bag.
But I mean, pine tar is using something. It's just using the approved something. You know what I mean?
Right, right. And then
it's very clear. We understand that pitchers need something.
Because the rosin bag is, you mix a little sweat with rosin. It provides that tackiness. And so he said that's pretty much all he used. He did say that the Mississippi mud, when the umpires rub up the balls, he's like, some days it was great and some days it was too much. And it would dry in a dry environment and become slick. Because mud would turn into like a dust and it would actually slide off and it wasn't preferred. So that's when, that you see pitchers going, I don't like this ball. Give me another one.
It's like they need to keep them in a moist environment before they come out to the umpire.
Where have we heard that before?
Humidor or something. it's clear like maybe the old ways just aren't here anymore. It's so funny like to hear these guys talk about, I can't grip this ball. And I'm like, and I played a lot of baseball and I never once was like, I can't grip this damn thing. But I'm also not putting like the amount of torque that these guys are putting on.
Yeah, so. You can't throw a slider at 97 or 95 that dips through the zone or something like that.
I mean, I had a pretty decent curveball, but like, you know, also our balls were scuffed to all hell. I mean,
they were just
you get two
up,
balls
right?
a game. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do?
We would go through the bag that we had and be like, this one's somewhat white still. We'll use this one.
We'll start with this one.
Yeah. See how long it lasts. Ah, crap. It went over the fence. Yeah, foul ball.
Freaking pound in the back.
That's our best ball. You go get it.
You hit it all the way to the pond, man. Sorry.
Well, speaking of curveballs, we had Sammy Long have his first official MLB start yesterday in front of his father on Father's Day. Which is fantastic. And so I have a couple of highlights here from his debut. And I'm just going to say, I only caught a little bit of this game, so I had to catch up with the condensed game. His curveball is nasty.
Yeah, it comes from straight over the top, too, and it breaks hard.
Very reminiscent of a Kershaw or like Barry Zito kind
Barry
of curveball.
Zito. Yeah,
it's very nice. But here we go. Here's some highlights.
On the hill today for the Giants, making his first big league start will be the left-hander Sammy Long.
Windy road, but other than that, it's pretty clean.
And that's all for Eflin.
They didn't want another pitching change.
Third ball for a strikeout.
Oh, big look at that thing dropped.
And the shutdown inning for Sammy Long. He's had some injuries.
And I mean, that's a strikeout pitch, right? I mean, that's how he got most of the seven.
Oh, and two the count. Curveball struck him.
I mean, we're just seeing curve after curve, and these guys walking away.
Strike surprise. He's like, okay, I'm buying.
Oh my God, that one was beautiful, though. He dropped it right in the corner of the zone.
That was a changeup.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah, Harper
is saying that he got a piece of it, but Rick Gibson said, no, you didn't. So, with a runner.
So, yeah, nice start from Sammy Long. And, I mean, you know, in this year of guys just coming up from the minor leagues, I mean, here we go. Here's another find, you know. It's incredible. So what if he can slip in there and, you know, replace an Alex Wood or whoever
like I said,
been struggling
Wood,
lately?
When Webb comes back, I think Wood's the guy who is on the chopping block. But, I mean, obviously, like, that's one start. We'll see.
Yeah.
But he did go. It was a quality start. Six innings.
Yep.
Seven strikeouts, two runs on one home run. That was it.
It was really one mistake because didn't he walk the guy before the home run?
Yeah. And he walked him on. It was kind of one of those at bats where it was just like some close pitches didn't get called.
I didn't see it all. But
he looked
at that going, that's good.
He looked solid all day. And then the beauty is the Giants give him plenty of run support. They score 11. And then our bullpen comes in three. Just shut down innings, no problem. Just 1, 2, 3.
Those were the three best innings by the bullpen, like all year. There was like 11 pitches, 8 pitches, and 10 pitches. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. Like it felt like either the Phillies were just swinging to get the F out of town, or
the Giants get away day. Let's go.
Right. But to the Giants bullpen's credit, I mean, even Brebbian, when he made his debut in the ninth, they attacked the strike zone. So these guys were forced to swing the bat right away. And that's kind of what you want to see out of the bullpen. You know, Willie, you were saying it before the show, like every day somebody new comes in, and it's funny, like with Leon and Brebbia yesterday, you know, now Littell's having a big, you know, mark on the bullpen. The bullpen's been ever changing, and I think it's been improving now. And you can have a guy like Sammy Long pitch a few innings if you know you got a solid bullpen backing him up too.
Scherfy and Brebbia. I'm like, what are these names? I guess I'm not keeping up with what's happening day to day. But
I think yesterday's game, I don't think a single pitcher was on the roster to start the season.
That pitched in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. So the only other one was, Little.
Or yeah, Littell. Long, Littell, Scherfy, and Brebbia. None of them were on the opening day roster.
Yeah, yeah.
And they pitched beautifully. I mean, Long, it's just, you get excited to think about what Long can do.
Yeah, and I think that how old is he? A couple years ago.
25.
25? Okay, so yeah, he's coming up right at this is the time he's supposed to be breaking in. He looks ready. He looks freaking ready to me.
Yeah. You know what's crazy, Eric, is you're saying that, you know, the bullpen's been so much better lately, and we're looking for things to complain about, right? And not too many people have been complaining about the bullpen as of late, and the season-long stats bear that out. So the Giants right now actually have the fourth best total ERA in the National League at 3.32 and the fourth best starting ERA at 3.23. They're third in the National League now in reliever ERA at 3.46. That was well over four just, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. So they've really brought that down now to be actually ranking-wise better in ERA than their starters. So, again, they've corrected. They're doing better. So, yeah, they have 7 walk-off losses. But, I mean, the Giants overall, the bullpen's been just fine.
I mean, you got to give credit. We were talking about this pre-show, and I said it. You got to give credit to this coaching staff. It is just unbelievable. I was reading something about Di Sclafani was talking about how the coaching staff will present him with options, and the one that he feels best and most comfortable with is the one he'll follow through on. And when they said to him, you know, he as a starter, you pitch four pitches usually. And the Giants said to their starting pitchers, instead of trying to, you know, spread yourself thin on these four pitches, if you have two pitches that you feel especially good about or one pitch you feel especially good about, focus on that pitch and focus on being productive with that pitch. And I think that's why we're seeing Gausman have so much success with his fastball and his splitter this year. And it really goes to show as a whole how this coaching staff has shaped the roster and the pitching staff over the course of the year, because, you know, we were all worried in April that was the bullpen we were looking at this entire year. And I guarantee you, come October, when the Giants are probably going to be playing, two-thirds of the guys in the bullpen will not have been on the opening day roster. Yeah.
Well, it's already kind of like that. So who's still around is Garcia, Alvarez, Rogers, and McGee.
McGee, yeah.
And Bargar is hurt, right? So
he's
coming back at some point, but he's not like just like out.
I don't think anybody's spot is solidified. When Bargar comes back, he might get sent down. It also has seemed like over the last few games, at least the last 2 weeks, the Giants have shifted away from Tyler in the ninth and gone to McGee more in the ninth.
Yeah.
And I feel like Kapler will say that it's matchups, but I think it's confidence. I think, like we talked about, you need somebody who can strike people out and not just give up weak contact in the ninth inning. And I think the Giants are leaning that way, which leads me to think they also might trade for a closer if they can, coming up towards the deadline here, because we're only, you know, five and a half weeks away from the deadline at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, at the beginning of the year, we knew about guys like Littell and Leon, but they're here. But there's, these other names. I'm like, what? Scherfy? I wasn't talking about this guy in like the pregame,
not
the
even on the radar,
whatever. You know what I mean?
Not even on the radar.
Yeah, but this
Connor
is what
Menez,
I love.
We never thought would be a part of this year's team. You know,
this is what I love about the philosophy. Is it's just like if you're not doing the job, somebody else is going to come up here and do it. And
well, you're talking about the coaching, Eric, in that article last week about Di Sclafani and Gausman, and you know they're basically like, you don't have to throw pitches just for the sake of mixing it up. Right. And Gausman said his whole career,
he had thrown the slider 20% of the time. So he thought, and his coaches previously said, mix it in, make sure one out of five pitches is a slider. But the Giants told him, yeah, guys are crushing your slider. They're not hitting your splitter or your four seamer.
Have you noticed
your changeup, right?
So the slider, people hit it.
Maybe you just throw the splitter more and the fastball more. And he's like, okay. So their philosophy was like, even if a hitter knows it's coming because it's less of a pitch selection, they still don't hit it as well as their slider. So do that. And so yeah, he shifted. He barely throws a slider at all, and the results speak for themselves. Same with Disclafini or Flani. You know, he same thing was told, look, you got to stick with these pitches, eliminate these to a certain extent, just concentrate on your strengths. And he did, and it's working wonders. So there's something about the coaching mentality that's come through, where old school baseball was like, hey, if you have four pitches, use all four. And it's like, well, if one of the four, you know, the batting average against is 300, maybe you drop that one, or at least you know, throw it twice a game. You know, don't rely on it. You know,
make it the surprise pitch.
Well, you could use it as like your 0-2 out of the zone pitch or something like that, just to remind them it's there. But you don't have to try to throw it in high stress situations.
It does speak. This coaching staff, we've talked about it because they have a ton of guys and girl on coaching staff, and I couldn't name all of them. No way in hell could I. I know Donnie Ecker's the batting coach. I know Andrew Bailey is the pitching coach. Andrew, right? Yeah, Patrick's the kid in the minors. Other than that, I don't remember the names of the coaches off the top. Kai Correa is the bench coach. But point being, something they do speaks to this generation of baseball player. And they are finding ways to focus on the positive and bring the positives out. Because as we've all competed as an athlete, when you focus on the negative, you drag yourself down to more negative places. When you focus on the positive, you work towards those positive goals and continue to do the productive things that you need to get done. So a batter will listen and say, you know, when there's a runner on second and nobody out and they need to move him to third, you know, left-handed batter will try to pull the ball in that situation. And other times he might not have, but they have lined up to be positive. And then if, you know, other better results happen, that is just because you were set up to succeed. It's just really impressive to see how the Giants overall are setting everybody up to succeed. This philosophy, I'm with you, Willie. This just Farhan being able to identify talent makes this philosophy work. So these coaches can work with these players. This is, you know, this is unbelievable. This is not something I expected to watch. We're watching them grow before our eyes, and it just makes you excited to think about how much better they can actually be.
How do you feel like Ron Wotus is handling the fact that he's just the only guy still there? I was just looking at our staff, and I'm like, yeah, none of these guys were around. And it's funny you talk about, I don't know who these guys are, where in the past it was, you know, Mark Gardner is the bullpen coach, and Eckersley, like, familiar faces. And now it's like, now, these guys are all clearly here for a reason. They're all, you know, doing something that's sticking out and working. But these are not ex-ball players. It's not a bunch of ex-ball players. This feels like
that's what's crazy about it is that a lot of them never played in the majors. Let alone
clearly a bunch of people who studied the game in other ways and got to this point in other ways. That's really interesting. If this is the modern way baseball goes, it's not that dinosaur way that we're, you know, before the show, you're talking about Boach was kind of a dinosaur at the end.
Yeah.
And that is just, we are like all in on the new brand of baseball.
Yeah.
More so than other teams. And that's why I'm not sure if this is the future of baseball or if this is just how Farhan works. Because literally the Giants are copying the exact same formula that LA used, but they're suddenly doing it like better than them.
We're a bunch of Zoomers.
Faster.
Faster is exactly it. You know, you talked about how, you know, the Dodgers have depth, but, you know, not every guy is going to be great. But that's how we feel about the Giants. But then everybody who keeps stepping up steps up. So
the Dodgers also just have the deepest pockets in baseball, though, too. So it's a, you know, this is almost like when you go from Boston to, you know, it's like you finally get that World Series win and you're the youngest GM in baseball history. And then you're like, I want a challenge now, you know, and you come back to the A's or you stick with the A's or whatever. And you don't go to Boston. Like, it's very interesting because more with less, and it's freaking working, man. It's working. Yeah.
I know, and we were talking about how all this money is coming off the books over the next year or two, and yet some of those guys with those contracts are having career years. And
yeah,
you're
know.
Like, well,
you're gonna make things difficult.
We might have to, yeah, we're gonna have to rethink some of this. I mean, I know Posey has an option year, so the Giants can exercise that or buy him out. But like Crawford and Belt are done with, so they would have to sign them as a free agent. And obviously, they're having these. You know, well, I shouldn't say Belt. I mean, he's been injured so much. But Crawford specifically, you know, he's just having an incredible year. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because if you told me at the beginning of the year that, you know, who's going to be your shortstop next year, I would have said 0% chance, Brandon Crawford. But now I'm thinking, well, you know, he loves the Giants. He's been a fan since he was a kid. I could absolutely imagine Brandon Crawford taking the hometown discount to stay with the Giants as opposed to going to another team for, you know, $8 million, $12 million, $18 million a year.
I think you could pay him a lot for one more year. I just don't think you could pay him a lot for like four more years. You know what I mean?
And Farhan would never do that.
I think if I'm Crawford, I'm like, hey, listen, I had a really good season. We'll see how it plays out. How about you sign me to 1 year, and then I will take the hometown discount when it's time for Luciano, and I will be the mentor. You know what I mean? Like, I will pass the torch to, like, the next guy who's going to be starting shortstop for a decade. Because he really is. Like, you think about it, there's some little kids who were at baseball games who had never known another guy to play shortstop for the San Francisco Giants, ever.
Yeah, and we forgot to mention, in Texas, he broke the all-time games played record for the Giants organization at shortstop. So that's incredible. Out of all the shortstops that we grew up with, Brandon Crawford has played the most games at that position. And so that's, like you just said, all those kids growing up, all they know is Brandon Crawford. You know, he's like the Jose Uribe or Royce Clayton.
He's the Uribe, exactly.
Yeah, or Clayton was to Crawford, you know? Sure. So he talks about that. So it's incredible, but it's a weird situation to be in. But, you know, speaking of stats, the Giants, you know, leading the majors with the Blue Jays in home runs, and expect the Blue Jays with Vlad and those guys.
Well, Vlad has, what, 23 by himself?
24 or something like that? Yeah.
I think it's 85.
He has a million home runs by himself.
Yeah, he mashes like his dad. So, but they have 107, and the next closest National League team is the Braves at 99, so they're full eight above that. I think the Dodgers have like 92, so it's pretty incredible. And to cap off the pitching stats, they have the best walk per nine rate in the majors at 2.63, and they're best in the National League in pitches per inning, which is an indication of how efficient they are in at-bats and how many guys get on base and all that, at 15.58 pitches per inning. So it ain't too shabby. And then overall, they got the best National League OPS at 759 and slugging at 434. And they're respectable sixth in the National League in batting average at 241. And that was, was just the worst in the beginning of the season, right?
Dumpsters. Yeah, for sure. Because you even look at the guys on the team and you're like, you know, Posey's not playing that much and he's the only guy with this, like, an actual batting average. Even Crawford is hitting like 240 something, right?
And, still is, yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, but I mean, I think he's understood that I'm not an average guy and never will be. You know what I can do? I could just golf some bitches out of here sometimes, right?
I could just bomb balls and play good defense. How's that, guys? Yeah, oh, exactly. That works.
I mean, and that's modern baseball right now. So he's clearly kind of just adjusted his game to work with what's proven to work. I was talking to Ty about this because it is weird when you start breaking down teams based on these stats. You go like, well, why are we the best team in baseball? Because Ty's assertion is that the Astros should definitely be the best team in baseball. They've got like this amazing run differential. If you look, it's like they've got the least amount of errors, I think, too, something like that. Their ERA, because he was like, look at how many stats we're first in offense. And I was like, well, what's going on with the pitching then, I guess? And he was like, we're seventh in ERA. I'm like, okay, well, something is happening somewhere. You know what I mean? But it's when you break all this stuff down, it's like, I think this is why you can say that the Giants are doing so well, because it's this kind of culmination of all of these things. We're not like, oh, we dominate in this one thing. We're just kind of in the spot that we need to be in all these things, and we're hitting the most home runs. So
when a team like the Giants comes out like this, usually they're like, they're doing it with smoke and mirrors because, you know, they'll be like 13th in batting average and 10th in runs scored. And, you know, it'll be things like that. But the pitching will be what's doing it. This is not that team. They're not doing it with smoke and mirrors. They are constantly, consistently leading the league in the categories they need to be with the home runs. I mean, this is the new modern philosophy.
Home runs are not smoke and mirrors. They are out in front of everybody for all to see.
You know, you talk about it. The Giants have played 11 home games in June. I got this stat, Carey Crowley, and they're 9-2 in those 11 games in June, averaging 7.36 runs per game. They've hit 23 home runs in 11 games. Crawford has 3. Flores has 3. Yastrzemski has 3. Belt has 3. Duggar has 3. Wade Jr., 3. Six different guys have hit 3 home runs over the course of 11 home games. I mean, you can't account for that as another team. You can't just go in and, like you said, pick out Barry Bonds and be like, we're going to walk that guy and not let him beat us. Because, well, all right, we're going to walk Yastrzemski, then Belt will beat us. Or we're going to walk Belt, then Wade Jr. will beat us. It's something else to watch. And that's why, you know, it touches back into what Willie said when we opened the show. You go in every day expecting them to win, and then they do.
Yeah. If you look at other teams, like, you know, you said Vladdy hitting a million. Schwarber just had, what, 5 in 2 days? That's like, there's other guys on other teams who are just going on these insane, like, barrages. But with the Giants, it's we got double-digit guys with, like, 6 or more. You know what I mean? It's just it's coming from everywhere. You can't stay away. It's like one of them's going to get you. We're going to get you. And we're probably going to get you 3 or 4 times in this game. And it's going to be the guy hitting 7th, 8th as much as it's going to be the guy hitting 3rd and 4th. It's sweet. It's amazing. I love it.
Yeah. By the way, the batting average in all of major leagues this year is a whopping .239.
Oh my God.
So the Giants are just above that.
Slightly above average. Yeah.
Yeah. Just as a kind of a history, these are like the last 10 years starting from 2020 and going back. So 2020, it was .245. 252, 248, 255, 255, 254, 251, 253, 255, 255. Then in the 2000s, it jacks up to 257, 262, 264, 68, 69, 64, 66, 64. So you can see how just the game has changed in the last 20 years. I mean, batting averages have dropped a full basically 15 points.
Yeah.
To this year.
Yet they're scoring 7 runs a game at home. I mean, that's ridiculous. You'd think that the scoring would go down, but it feels like the scoring's gone up. I mean, that's why they have like a plus, what is it, 90-something run differential?
Yeah. Yeah, no, they're just doing great. So just kudos to the Giants, like you said. I mean, their batting average and some stats, they were kind of lingering near the bottom, but they've been picking that up lately, and it really shows.
Chad, you didn't go back far enough, by the way, in that. In 1930... The average batting average, .292.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're an all-star.
Everybody, I mean, no one was hitting the ball out, but everybody was getting on.
Right,
the
ball. Like, there was no home runs, crazy. But
there was no shift either.
If you go back to 1894, .309, as far as I can tell, that's the only season where it was over.
Woo! .309.
That's crazy. Dang. There's definitely been other pockets, though, in time. In the history of baseball, where the batting average has gone down, I think the 70s.
Yeah, late 60s, early 70s when they lowered.
Well, they lowered the mound in what, 1962 or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, 1968. Yeah. 1967, it was .242. Yeah, 1968, it dropped to .237. One of the few times it's actually lower than it is right now at .239. So
yeah,
that might be the
only. That was also, time. I mean, you think about that era. That era was dominated by pitchers.
Right. Yeah.
The best players in the 70s were all freaking pitchers.
Baseball, what a consistent sport. Pretty amazing, except for the power. So anyway, it's their record, you know, 24-10 at home, 22-16 on the road, nice and balanced. I mean, again, playoff teams are going to be at or slightly above .500 on the road. They're holding serve there. It's been great. I mean, we're almost at the halfway mark, right? They're 20 games above .500. And if you include the last like 20 games of last year, this is a really huge sample size. So I admit I'm fully a believer. I was like, whatever, 75 wins
on board
this year.
Yep.
It's gotta be, they only have 29 more wins to get to that point, you know, and that should be no problem in like 90 games, obviously.
I'm not
horrible happens.
I'm not expecting some massive, just fall apart. Like, I'm just not expecting it now.
No.
I really think that, and they kind of proven it this year so far, is that regardless of a bad game here, give up a, you know, a walk-off win or whatever, they just seem to bounce back. They haven't had any consistent losing streak. They haven't really had a consistent winning streak either. Like, I think the most is maybe like five.
Longest is five. They've done it twice, and their longest losing is three. So
they haven't ripped off like 13, like the A's or anything like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or the freaking Rays. What did they get? Like 17 or something crazy?
Yeah. And now guess what? The Rays have lost six in a row. It's a current streak. So it's like
very
oh my God.
Consistent. It's like because we don't have. I mean, yes, obviously, we have an ace, but we don't. You know, it's like our ace isn't like we have a bunch of guys who all kind of come out and consistently put together a good effort, and we have a bunch of guys who come out consistently. You don't have your star went 0-4. You're not going to win that game. Like that's not how the team is built. So the team feels built for consistency, which means it feels like when you get to the playoffs, and getting a run is really difficult, which it tends to become once you get to the playoffs. This feels like the kind of team that's going to thrive in that scenario. Like I'm looking at this team and I'm going, why not? Why not this team? Why not this team to win everything? I don't see a reason at this point.
Why not? And, you know, if they do have to play a wild card game, which at this point they got the division set in their sights, and that may or may not happen. But even a wild card, you got guys like Gausman who could take the bump on that one game playoff and, you know, just dominate. But speaking of playoffs, it's interesting. There's so many sites out there. Playoffs. You talking about playoffs? We got I just picked out three sites, some of the more popular sites in terms of their percentage odds. And I thought it was striking how Baseball Reference they put the Giants at almost 97% chance of making the playoffs, but most other sites like 538 and Fangraphs put them at a more, I wouldn't say reasonable, but maybe more realistic 75-76%. But considering where they started at the year, you know, like, you know, 5%, 10% chance of playoffs, I mean, clearly these sites are coming around going, oh, well, yeah, I mean, they have a pretty decent shot at least getting a wild card, especially against the Central and the East, which the non-division winners, you know, the Giants would have to have a worse record than them. And those chances aren't exceedingly high right now. So, I don't know. We don't have to talk long about this. I just thought it was interesting how Baseball Reference is like nearly 100% guarantee. And the other two are like, 3 out of 4 chance.
And they, I just looked at it too. 9.3% to win the World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
One out of 10?
I'll take 1 out of 10.
I'll take 1 out of 10 every single time. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Fangraphs has them as 1 out of 50 to win the World Series.
Oh, my God. All right.
Yeah. To make, you know, it's, well, I was going to say, they are 76 to make the playoffs, but only 40% to make the LDS.
Yeah. Well, because that one game, that one game wild card is such a 50-50 coin toss. But what I thought was interesting, too, is Fangraphs also predicts the Giants will finish, and this is with current data. This isn't from the beginning of the season because they thought 70-something wins. They think the Giants will finish at 91-71. That's 20 games above 500. They're 20 games above 500 right now. So if you look at their remaining schedule, Fangraphs list them as 45-45. And I'm just going, how do they think a team that's 20 games above 500 will suddenly and magically just play 45-45 the rest of the way? I don't see that. I mean, 91 wins is fantastic at the beginning of the season, but I think now they got to obviously shoot for mid-90s at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how they're not just a winning ball club the rest of the way.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, even if they're 5 games above 100, whatever.
To me, it feels like 30 games above 500 sounds about right to finish the season, right?
And that would just be incredible. My God, could you imagine that? 96 wins or whatever? We'll take
that. There's really no remarkably hard stretch in their schedule the rest of the year either. Like, for every 2 or 3 good teams they play, they get a break with, like, an Arizona or a Pittsburgh or a Colorado. Yes, or a Colorado.
But also the Giants, do you know who the two best teams are as far as against teams over 500?
Yeah, the Giants have a winning record.
Mm-hmm. The Giants and the Astros have the two best records against teams over 500.
Yeah, so you can't just keep pointing out, they've played a weak schedule. It's like,
no.
That's a proven track record.
When we play, when we play good teams, we tend to win those games more than anybody else. It's actually the Giants do have the best, and it's the Astros who have the second best. And I was texting Ty. I was like, so that means Giants-Astros World Series. Let's go. Here it comes. It's on its way.
I mean, that makes sense. When you look just in the division, I think we're, what, 4-3 against the Padres and 3-4 against the Dodgers. So that's 500. Mm-hmm. So that means that every other 500 team outside of the division, the Giants are beating, which also bodes well for the playoffs. I can't believe we're talking about playoffs. It's not even July yet, and we're talking about playoffs. And I mean it.
How can you not, though, earnestly, when you look at this record? Yeah.
I earnestly think we should be talking about it.
Yeah. No, it's the right thing to be doing right now. I'm really excited. So you mentioned the Angels, and apparently we're going to get a sweet matchup. And I'm really excited to see how we do against the A's. I'm very, very looking forward to that. Yeah. I definitely will say I had a lot of concern when we went up against the Padres early on. We went up against the Dodgers early on. I was like, did I say the Dodgers? The Dodgers early on.
Hybrid team.
Yeah.
That
other team
swap
in the West. Yeah. But now I'm looking forward to these games, these matchups. I think we compete, and I think we will compete in every single one of these series. So I'm no longer like, oh no, can we hold on and split, four against the Padres? I'm like, why won't we just win all four of those? That's literally my mentality now as a Giants fan. And I can't remember the last time I felt that way. Not any of the three times we won the World Series, that's for sure.
Right. That's what's so weird about this is I don't feel like during 10, 12, or 14 we ever felt this way during the season.
Yeah.
This, to me, after 70 games, this was like one of the top – this was the second best record the Giants have had through 70 games when they were 45 and 25 since they moved to San Francisco. The best record, I believe, was in 93. And this is the type of team that reminds you of a 93 or, an 02, 03 type team. It reminds me of those a lot more than it does any of the championship teams. Like, this team is dominating in the regular season in such a way that we have not seen in a long time in San Francisco.
Yeah, it's just
actually 93 was the last time I was like, oh, we're just going to win every game. We're always going to win. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And that's why when we lost to the freaking Braves, it was so horrible because it was like, what?
103 wins and you don't get in the playoffs?
How?
Yeah, I can guarantee you 103 wins will get you in the playoffs this year.
It will get you in the playoffs.
No question.
Will it win the West? We don't know yet. So
maybe not.
We'll see. That would be pretty. Yeah. That's what's going to be crappy is if the Giants finish as good as we think they can now and the Padres and Dodgers also finish as good as everyone predicts. All three teams are going to be like between 95 and 103 wins, which means that potentially
one of those teams doesn't go.
Two. It could be two of those teams face each other in the wild card and they both have be division winning records in any other division or most of the divisions. Right. So and they get relegated to a one game coin flip and
then
it sucks.
Would the winner of that wild card game then go on to have to play the NL West winner? Cause they'll probably have the best record as well.
West winner. I know.
It has to me. It's like, it is. They're going to all kill each other. I mean, that's why.
Yeah, last year that would have happened if the Giants had made the playoffs.
Yeah, they would have
obviously
played the Dodgers.
They would have had the wild card. They started right away, right? Anyway, they would have faced the Dodgers if it wasn't the Brewers. So that's why it was going to be so epic.
But could you imagine that, playing a wild card game to beat San Diego to then go have to play L.A., even though you're like five games better than, the Brewers or the Cubs or whoever the hell made
wins,
it from the NL
Central?
Right.
I know.
It's, you know what I mean? Or
I'm just
going to
– sure. No, I'm just going to say it, though. Like, this feels to me like the Giants are just going to be in first place all year. Like, it's just crazy. Like, you look at the Dodgers, they went 8-2. The last 10, it's not a problem. We just go 7-3 and we just keep the lead.
They barely gained the ground.
Yeah, and it's just, it feels like that's just the way it's gonna work this year. And it's so fun to watch all these Dodgers fans like lose their minds over like, why are we still like, what, we have 44 wins, like how are we not in first place? And it's just, it's so fun. It's enjoying every second of it, but it's just, I don't know why. It's got that feel like, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what they do. We're just going to keep doing this.
Well, speaking of interchangeable parts, we had quite a few transactions and injuries. I'm not going to go every single one because it's just so many over the last 2 weeks. But I'll talk about the notables. Of course, John Brebbia was removed from the 60-day IL after his Tommy John surgery. So he made his debut yesterday, looked good. Connor Menez, who started the season really good, kind of was chunked in that opener. the other day, or that appearance the other day. So he was sent down to the minors. Aaron Sanchez was transferred to the 60-day IL. So
what was he on? Was he on 15 or was 30? I don't remember.
Yeah, that's a good question. I thought he was just on the 10 this entire time.
I know. I thought, honestly, yeah, I did not think, okay.
Apparently, so it's blister
rehabilitation.
Issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, now they're calling right biceps tightness. So,
no. The 60 day means like, okay, like legit rehab
might
schedule.
Not see
when you come back, you might not even be the same guy
now. Yeah, we might not see him the rest of the year.
He might be done.
But thanks for a couple starts, and we appreciate your help.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, he basically tried out in an
next guy
out and made the team. Yep. So,
Sammy Long's
Darren
here,
Ruffin.
So, you know,
it's true. Ruff and Dickerson, of course, are in the minors for rehab. Like you said, Eric, they're probably coming back soon, so they're going to have to make some room. Trump was sent back down to the minors after Casale was called back up. By the way, he hit his first career triple and his first home run of the season this week, so he suddenly got hot over the weekend, which was great. Yaz, of course, came off the IL, and he did what he did. Berrigar was sent to the minors. Akil Morris, I don't know anything about him, was signed to a minor league contract. Kazmir DFA'd, cleared waivers, and then was outrighted to the minors, so he's back in Sacramento. Thairo Estrada sent back down. Jalen Davis, minors for rehab. Matt Whistler was DFA'd. Of course, Sam Long, they purchased his contract from the minors.
Traded. Whistler got traded to the Rays.
And then he got traded, right, for
the
Rays.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Going from one awesome record to another. Okay, right. Apparently some. Okay, sure.
Yeah, right. I don't get it either. I mean,
yeah, all right. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. We can't use them. Apparently, the best team. In
they
the
all see
team.
Something that the three of us don't see. But sure.
The Braves got Pablo last year and made something work with that guy. Sometimes just a change of scenery is all it takes.
Yeah, sometimes it does. So, all right, let's talk about who's hot, who's not. I went through this. This is something we used to do, but it's been a couple of weeks. So. Yaz, last nine games, hitting .333 with four bombs and 11 ribbies. Belt, last seven games, .429 with three bombs, six RBI. Duggar, his last seven games, .474. And I think he's hitting like .314 on the year now with two bombs and five ribbies. And then Wilmer Flores, last nine games, .444 with three home runs and six RBI. And then just a note, Crawford, who's having just an incredible year, is still on pace for 30-plus home runs and 100-plus RBI. I mean, that's like... What? From our shortstop? What? Our 30-something-year-old
from our
shortstop?
Weak-hitting shortstop, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my God.
He's just like here for the defense.
It freaking just took him a
corner
few years
power.
To fill out his body.
He just needed to fill out.
Right?
I mean, look, he's hitting big-boy home runs now, too. So it is true. Maybe
it's
he's
fun.
Got that he's got that dad strength now, right, where he's just got four kids. You know, he's constantly got three kids in every arm, and he's just, you know, now it's like, okay, well, this
he's
bat don't feel
bat.
So heavy anymore. This bat's only, what, 32 ounces? Okay, I can swing this pretty fast.
I mean, you've stood near him before, too, though. He's bigger than you really think he is.
No, he's built. Yeah, he's
built. Yeah, you know?
Yeah, he's built like an athlete.
He's an athlete. Yeah.
It's just weird that shortstops nowadays are built like that.
So, I think we're actually finally seeing Yaz be healthy for the first time in the season, which I think is the reason why he's finally, because it's like we talked, he got hit, but in the preseason and just never got off the ground. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just never got it going. And then he hit his stupid thumb on the wall. And I'm just like, how many times are you going to mess up your freaking hands, dude? And, you know, with a guy who's a quick bat, you know, turning on inside pitches, like the hands are pretty important to be strong and feel good. So if his hands are actually finally feeling good again, yeah, he could get right back on that horse. And because we all predicted he was the guy who had the most potential to hit 20 plus, right, for the year. And he hasn't been that at all. Yeah, not Brandon Crawford. Yeah. I think it was Flores and it was Yaz. And but Yaz, I mean, four home runs in the last week. Yeah, he's ready.
Flores is the guy I want to touch on real quick because I really thought he hit a wall. I thought he just had become a serviceable major league player and that's all he was going to be. But apparently, same with Yaz, he also needed to get healthy. And, you know, he was on the IL, then he came back, then he got put on the IL again. So it makes you think he was not healthy when he first came off. And now he is suddenly very healthy and we're seeing the results, .444 in the last nine games, a 4-for-4 day yesterday with two bombs. And, you know, only one of the hits was really probably a cheapie. You know, he's starting to hit the ball and square things up. So it's good to see the guys that are healthy. You know, Flores, I really thought he was done, but apparently he was just injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just injured. And that's how it's been, I think, for the Giants all season, is we've had a lot of guys dinged up. And this is not – we still haven't seen them at their full form, their peak strength, which is kind of scary to think about.
Yeah, and talking about who's not, I really just highlighted one guy. We mentioned him earlier, Alex Wood, who started the season so hot and has been pretty consistent throughout his career with the Dodgers, has just not been good over his last five games. He's 1-2. The Giants at least won two of those five. A 7.88 ERA, that's 21 earned runs in 24 innings pitched. And that's, he's allowing a 269 batting average against. He can't seem to find it. I mean, he has funky mechanics as it is, but he's just not hitting his targets, and he's a really emotional guy. But yeah, it's been kind of disappointing because he was someone that I thought was actually going to come in and do a really good job. And he still can. His ERA is just above four right now. I think his career ERA is 3.5. But yeah, like you guys said, if he doesn't start picking it up, he could be one of those guys that gets removed from the rotation in the coming
Spider Tech. Yeah. I mean, it's possible. It is.
But the thing is, though, he's been slumping longer than they've been talking about cracking down. So I don't know if that's really what's going on. I think there's something else. I honestly feel like he could be one of those guys where when Webb comes back, he goes down, but can get it together again and come back and be a solid contributor later on. Because it does feel like, something's mentally going on here. I don't know, obviously, if like something's physically wrong, but it just feels like in his lot, like especially in that start against Philadelphia, like he just looked shaken out there. And like, they showed that shot of him arguing with Cap, trying to say, like, look, I want back in. And Cap was like, no, dude, like just no.
You have allowed runs in every single inning, all three innings. Like you're not,
and it's bad every inning too. It's not like, oh, you got a couple of bloops and then a blast. Like it was, no, you're walking guys. Guys are getting over. Guys are hitting the ball hard. You just don't have it right now. And you know, but I have seen him have it. I know it's in there. Got to let it out, man. Got to let it out.
All right. Well, All-Star voting opened a little while ago. And of course, you know, I voted a few times. I'm sure you guys have. Currently, Buster Posey does lead all catchers. Crawford is in fourth at shortstop, and only the top three advance. Now, this isn't to say that he can't be placed on the roster later by the manager, of course, or the players. But
Wait. What do you mean only the top three? I thought that only the starter was the fans. Is that not the way it works anymore?
No, it does. But the top three advance for like a the final vote or whatever.
Yeah, it's I don't know what the new one is, but I know they changed.
Because I thought back in the day it was the starters, the nine starters were decided on by the fans, and then the manager just like picked a bunch of guys. Right? Yeah. Wasn't that usually how it always?
Yeah. Happened? Now they have the 12th man or whatever vote. They have. okay. Yeah, I know. They have players and managers and coaches vote on another set. But that's whatever's changed this year. Yeah, I'm not sure what else. I know the top three advanced for the final vote, but I don't understand how that works. So it's a little bizarre. But I do think that he's going to end up on the All-Star team at some point, somehow as a reserve. But we'll see. He deserves it. So get out there and vote. As far as the rest of the team, it's been the talent has been, the production, I should say, has been spread across everyone. There isn't anyone that's like at an all-star level, right? The performance collectively is an all-star level, but not individually. So I think your guarantee is really Buster Posey. And then as far as, you know, pitchers, it might be Kevin Gausman who will make the team. And then maybe a Brandon Crawford. Other than those three, I don't really see anyone going at this point. Do you guys?
No, and I don't think I really care, honestly.
No, it doesn't matter. You know, it's funny how like these years where there's either a super popular vote where like seven Yankees make the starting infield or whatever the crap it's been in the past, you know, even though some guy's hitting like 210, or the team that's in first place or the sexy team like the Padres, you know, gets seven guys on the team. That's not the Giants. They are they are just doing it business blue collar style. And they're probably only going to have two to three representers and none of them starting. Well, I should Buster Posey.
Buster will start.
But yeah, there's
Posey's
not be a lot
starting
of
based on he's at this point, he's like the name alone. Right. It's like
and the, yeah,
in basketball, like Durant will be injured and still get like the most votes or whatever. You know, it's like that kind of thing.
I don't think Buster's up there leading if he's not having the year he's having. I think he's hitting like four home runs and he's hitting like 250. I don't think that his name recognition would get him that far. Yadi, I think, would have.
Yeah, it'd be Yadi Air for sure. And that's
at that point, you know, and we were talking about Darren Ruff and Dickerson coming back. I have some breaking news. Alex Dickerson and Darren Ruff are both back from the injured list. Lamont Wade Jr. and Jason Vossler have been optioned to AAA.
Wow. Well, they have options left. So
that's exactly it. Options.
Yeah. I'm kind of sad to see Lamont Wade Jr.
I love him. He's like a Belt Jr., but better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's and the fact that you can stick him at first base or in the outfield is just so nice.
But with Ruff coming back, that takes away his first base
that's
possibilities.
The same guy. I know, yeah,
right. And it's options. That's why they did it. So they're going to keep holding on to Talkman. So my prediction there was totally off, but they're going to keep giving
Talkman would have been
the
guy. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a thing where if they'd let Talkman go, he just goes, right?
So right. I think they're worried about losing him overall, and that's why they don't want to get rid of him just yet. So yeah, Wade Jr. and Vossler go down. Vossler surprised me a little bit too, but because he's been playing really well at third, covering for Longoria. But I guess because Flores has been playing so well there, they feel okay. Flores, he faced a righty yesterday and went 4-for-4, so... Mm-hmm. I think that was their test to see if they could send Vossler down so they don't have to platoon all the time.
That's a good point, yeah. He had a really good day at the plate. All right, well, coming up, the Giants have an off day today, an off day Thursday, so maybe they can recoup, reset everyone. They got two down in Anaheim against the Angels and then three back at Oracle Park against the A's. And, yeah, it's going to be fun against Otani. I guess it's like – is that game two that happens?
Yeah, it's Wednesday afternoon.
All right, that's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm supposed to go play pool on Wednesday. I might have to just cancel that. And I got baseball to watch, baby. Is that a nationally broadcasted game or anything like that? Or is that going to be...
I totally could see MLB Network picking that up. I mean, it's a 1 o'clock. What is it? It's a 3 o'clock game by you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I could see being picked up by MLB
Network. It's a midday game on a Wednesday. Come on.
They always pick those kind of games up.
Yeah, right now it's listed as NBC Bay Area, but
did the same.
All right. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw, Otani has said that he will play. He will participate in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Pretty cool.
And Vladdy just came out today and said he won't participate in the Home Run Derby.
Come on, man!
We totally got robbed.
Why you got a LeBron James us over here, dude? Uh-huh. He has in the past, though, right? So it's not like he's never done it, but.
Yeah, well, he did it 2 years ago, and he tanked, like, the second half of the season. So I think Junior's afraid of that happening. But I love Otani's enthusiasm. The guy's like, I'm here to play ball. Let's just play ball.
I think, honestly, what they need to do, they need to change the way they do the Home Run Derby to not be so much of a test of endurance and more of a just, like, you know, if they hit 40, like, just – hit some long ass ones and just shorten this whole damn thing up because it's like
hey
the
guys,
dunk
yeah,
contest.
Speaking of shortening it up, I have to go real quick, so I got to end the broadcast. But I just want to say thanks for. I know it's kind of odd. I needed to be done by one, but that's okay. for episode 228, we'll be back next Monday for episode 229. Follow us, of course, at TorchCast on Twitter, Facebook.com/TorchCast, TorchCast.com. For Willie, for Eric, this is Chad signing off, and we'll see you next week. Peace.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.